Good morning. I'm still out of sync. Darren was telling me if he doesn't fly every week, he forgets how. I think that goes with preaching too. between the snow and some other things, I'm just sort of out of rhythm, so bear with me this morning as I try to find it. And yet I'm comforted by the line from that psalm we just sang, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Let's read the scriptures together. Look at Psalm 1. That's the subject scripture for the morning. It's a short psalm, but it's packed. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf doesn't wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the day of the wicked will perish. And these are the words of God. May he add his blessing to this partial reading of his holy word. Let's pray together. Good morning, Father. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for bringing this church to this place in the last 35 or so years. Thank you for how this place has stood the test of time over 100 years as a place of worship. And thank you for the opportunity to move this congregation to yet another place and for us to find out for sure that you are everywhere, that you don't need this building, and neither do we when we have you. Be with us this morning as we pursue your lesson here in Psalm 1, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart hearing this message to be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So the name of the lesson this morning, you know, we're off on a new series. The name of the lesson this morning is, what kind of tree is me? Last time I was here, we talked about gardens. Today, I want us to talk about trees. Not just any trees, but trees that are used biblically to teach us about ourselves. We can learn a lot from trees about how to grow. I've noticed lately that I take about 2 pages of the sermon just to sort of warm up before I can get to the topic, so here I go again. I just have to meander a little bit so I can get to the task. Many years ago, when I was just a boy, my parents built the house in which Cindy and I now live. It was and still is a cozy, warm home. In the beginning, the land was so full of scrub brush that my mother actually named the place Briarfield. It was really a field full of briars, mostly blackberry bushes. Now that's not all bad, a month a year anyway. The blackberries were good when they came in, but it wasn't much of a yard. It sloped in the back once and then again to a creek that meandered through the back of the property. My dad, he was from South Carolina, he called that bottom land. He got 500 pine seedlings from the Forest Service, and I would have been about 8 or 9 years old. And he and I set them out on the land joining that creek. In the upper backyard, we planted 3 oak trees, and over in the side yard, we planted 3 maple trees, and then just little saplings. And over the years, those pines grew to maturity, although most of them fell victim to Hugo. Some of you will remember Hugo. Looked like we had a bunch of pencil ends down there in the backyard. But a few still stand. One of the 3 oaks still survives. The last maple is getting taken down this spring. I look today at our little wood, and it has begun to show the evolution that is part of nature's way. The birds and the wind and the storms have carved another sort of wood from the one that my dad and I started so long ago. Over time, a forest, even a tiny one like ours, evolves. Softwoods like pines and gums will give way to black cherry and poplar and oak. The pines grow fast and they have a taproot. You know, they can sway 40% in the wind and still come back upright. Oaks and maples spread their roots and trap moisture from all over their long roots, and they grow slower, but they grow much harder. Dogwoods, my mother's favorite, once reputed to be big and strong enough to make crosses for crucifixion in ancient Israel and Greece, now grow spindly and crooked. Legend has it that the dogwood could never grow straight again after Jesus was nailed to it. The Bible talks a lot about trees. In fact, it names several dozen different trees. There's the gopher wood used to make the ark, the acacia wood to build the tabernacle of God, the cedars of Lebanon used to make Solomon's temple, the olive tree that bears the favorite fruit of Israel. How many of you have been to that part of the world? Anybody? There we go. Cindy and I got to go a few years back, and I got addicted to olives. They're everywhere over there, and they're wonderful. There's the dogwood, thought to have been the source of the cross, the tree of knowledge of good and evil of Genesis. Whatever the tree, each has its use, some for strength, some for fuel, some for building material, some for ships. Some, many in fact, are fruit trees and a food source. Trees are metaphors for life. Some people are strong, like the cedars of Lebanon. Some can take great punishment and wear, like the cypresses of Mount Hermon. Some bear fruit, and fruit of different kinds. In Israel, there are avocados, bananas, apples, cherries, pears, pomegranate, many more that come from native trees, more than 40 in all. That fruit is edible, and it helps sustain life. But there are other trees that aren't so edible, like the willow and the oak. Instead of fruit, they supply us shade to cool off from the heat of the day, helping us to provide us with the fruit of the Spirit that accompanies that rest and that meditation. Some people are like that as well, don't you think? Think of the people you know that fit some of these descriptions. Now, we're in a psalm today, and the psalms are mostly hymns. They're psalms of joy, psalms of ascent, psalms of praise, psalms of lament. Psalm 1, the source of our scripture today, is none of these. Neither is it really an introductory psalm, though it's placed at the beginning of the book of Psalms. Psalm 1 is more like an invocation. It calls us to lend our ears to God's teaching, more akin to the wisdom literature of Proverbs than to the lyrical nature of the Psalms. And in that sense, it makes an appropriate setting to the book of Psalms to begin it. And it says, "Blessed is the man." Please impute to that manhood, in other words, men and women. Blessed is the man. But then the psalmist tells us what is not blessed. Doing so in this tripartite list of ascending familiarity, first this man walks, then he stands, and lastly, having gotten comfortable in his life of selfishness, he has a seat. Who is blessed? The man who walks not, stands not, sits not. Where? In the advice of the wicked, in the way of sinners, in the seats of mockers. Implicitly, the psalmist cautions us how not to be blessed. Blessed is the man or woman who goes the other way from these storms and droughts of life. What is this man like? This man who is blessed. He can't live just by not doing. He's got to do. The psalmist offers us some suggestions. The man is like this. He's like a tree. Well, it must be a special tree. And indeed it is. It's a tree planted by the rivers of water. When it's time, it yields its fruit. Through all that it encounters, it doesn't wither, but rather it prospers. And how does it do that? Think about that tree. It's planted in the right place. There's space. There's nourishment. It can put down roots that reach those rivers of water, and it can prosper. The man or woman who would be blessed must follow this path if he or she is to find a life that prospers. We too must find our rivers of water. We're in such a place now where roots can go down and where we can be nourished. We're in God's church, God's gathering of his people. And we can be so nourished without fear of walking or stopping or sitting down in an environment that will poison us and the fruit we would bear. Trees are like people in another way. They don't get to what they are overnight. It takes time for a tree to grow, to gain its maturity. I look at that one oak in my backyard that still survives. It's almost 70 years old now. And in order to stay in our backyard, it had to be pruned some years ago. It had too much weight to hold itself together. So it was cut back to make room for itself in the future. Think about that. It had to be cut back to make room for itself. Sometimes we must be pruned if we are to grow. I had an event 5 years ago, I've talked to you about it once or twice, where I almost died. I got COVID pneumonia, and then I got pneumonia. And I spent a number of weeks in ICU, and nurses came by every few hours to see if I was still alive. It was pretty pathetic. And it just hit me this morning in the pew when I'm sitting there getting ready to give this message that, goodness gracious, was that a pruning? That was 5 years ago now, and I'm still talking about it. I'm still able to do things. Maybe, just maybe, I needed to be pruned to get out of my own way. It takes some trees longer than others to reach maturity. growth is both upward and outward. To hold its height, a tree must gain breadth. Trees of every kind must learn to weather the storms of life, the droughts that come along, the winds that buffet them, the extremes of the seasons. They must put down roots. Whether those roots run deep or whether they run wide, these roots must sustain them through all the experiences and events that they're going to encounter. Isn't it the same for us? Something came up with some discussion between me and Cindy in the last day about what if we didn't have God? Was there ever a time when we were just full of despair? I've had a couple of those times. I expect you have too. But I was trying to answer her question. I thought, I pretty much always had God. I don't know what other people do when they don't. I don't know that kind of despair because, luckily, I have a root system that involves my Savior. What kind of tree is me? I think that I, like the little forest in the back of my house, am evolving. When I was young, I was more like the fruit that comes in its season and provides those around it with laughter and joy and tenderness, all fresh and new and ripe. Judy was asking me this morning what my hair color was when I was younger. It was almost black. Well, that was ripe, wasn't it? In another season of life, I've been more like those cypress trees, I think, that keep taking a pounding and find a way to survive. In this season of life, I think I more resemble a pine tree. Tall and still somewhat straight, but more able to bend to the elements that never stop testing. What kind of tree are you? In the 11th verse of the very first chapter of the Bible, God says this: let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind, with seed in them. And it was so. You see what God was doing? He was creating, that's for sure. But what? He was creating a method, a reason. As much as he was creating things, it seems to me that though mankind came somewhat later, the template was there to see. We are here to bear fruit after our kind. We are here as planters. We put out the seeds, just like I did with my dad those many years ago. But we don't worry once the planting is done. God will bring the harvest. We seek ways for each of us to tell our story. Whether we're here together or out in the context of our lives, that storytelling is our way of planting seeds in the hearts of others. We need to do that. Our Savior asks us to do that. In the 9th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 9:37, Jesus has been going all through the cities and villages, teaching and healing. He notes to his disciples that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. He asks the disciples to pray earnestly, not for more converts, but for more planters, more storytellers, more disciples. Jesus says to pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest. You see, we never have to worry about the harvest. That sure belongs to God. We need only to be concerned about broadcasting the seeds of the gospel. That's our fruit. And what is our kind? We're made in the image of God. That also from Genesis 1. The ESV says we're made in his likeness. Whether you translate kind or likeness, the point is that God made our essence, our core, like himself. That's our kind. He used a rainbow of colors to paint our skin and a myriad of personalities to communicate our presentation to others. But at our essence, we were built to mirror him. So when people look at Christians, they should be able to see something in us that makes them give pause, makes them get curious, makes them want to know more. Again, in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is walking through the Lake District, the region of Galilee, teaching and healing and proclaiming the gospel. He gives this long discourse on many subjects in Matthew 5 through 7, starting with the Sermon on the Mount. And near the end of this, his first of five discourses in Matthew, Jesus talks about trees and their fruit. Listen to the words of our Lord. Listen to his words, not as though you need to be transplanted back to ancient Israel, but rather as if he were here, talking to you right now. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You'll recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. The psalmist warns of the ungodly and uses healthy trees to symbolize the prosperity that comes from righteousness. It was one of our scriptures this morning. Righteousness, being right with God. Jesus, in the beginning of his ministry, draws from a similar analogy to warn of poor root systems and the disease of a poison witness. If you don't get healthy and stay healthy, you become diseased. In the same way that disease prevents a tree from bearing fruit, so will the disease of the spirit of a man or a woman cause him or her not only not to bear fruit, but to be cut down. We worry about these sorts of things with our children and our grandchildren. What are they learning? Who are they hanging with? How? How can we rightly influence them to find God in the midst of all this social pressure of their young lives? Well, home is one way. I see that evidenced here in this church. What are you feeding your spirit, your children spiritually? Church is another. What are we feeding ourselves here? I was at a church meeting not too long ago where a young man, a teenager, was presented for confirmation and membership, and he gave a little tiny testimony. This is part of what he said. About 15 years old, saying that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior means that I can have comfort in the feeling that Jesus always has my back. And always leads me on the right track. It also means that he's always there and a shoulder to lean on for support. Jesus being my Lord and Savior means that I have a community to lean on. That young man is growing in Christ. He's been planted well. So, what kind of tree are you? Are you planted in the right place? Are you getting the nourishment you need? Where are your roots growing? You know they're growing. It's like teaching. You don't have to be a school teacher to teach, do you? You're always teaching. You're always putting down roots. The question is where and how, and the quality of that. Have you taken enough risk to be close to those rivers of water? It might seem that to be so close would make you subject to being washed away. And that's where your faith comes in. Like that teenager said, God will protect you. God knows the way of the righteous, and he's there for them. More importantly, are you bearing fruit? Is the fruit after your kind, or is it becoming poisoned? You see, God isn't really talking about trees at all. He's just using trees to tell us about ourselves and how to grow ourselves. Where is your delight? If it's in God's teaching, you're healthy. And that means you need to tell your story and plant those seeds. And God will bring the harvest. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, you are the master gardener. Thank you. You who are all powerful, who needs no one for nothing, for coming to us, for loving us, for using us to help spread the gospel that is Jesus Christ. Help us to understand that we're part of that army that you want, that you call your church. And the church only begins in buildings like this. Where it prospers is beside those rivers of water out in your world. Thank you for being with us here today. In Christ's name we pray these things. Amen.